Rain, probably none of us were busy at all. Well, it's good to be with you all again this morning and for the day. I love our Sundays, and it's just an opportunity to take a big breath and look to God's Word, encourage one another, and be encouraged by the Spirit. So it's always a blessing to be together with you folks today. We're going to go back to the study on the gifts of the Spirit, and Lord willing, we'll close it out today. Go ahead and turn to, let's go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, please. The gifts of the Spirit. There are some that can, they have the gift of teaching, and they can take a topic like this and just, do an amazing job of working out all the little things, the details, and connecting lots of different scriptures and texts, those sorts of things. For our purposes, we're just taking a general look, but at the same time, I don't think it's necessary to, take 6 months and write a thesis on the gifts of the Spirit. You can do that, and that is beneficial if you want to do a deep dive, but I think it's also important as Christians that we have a general understanding of the gifts of the Spirit and a working understanding of what they are and how to identify them and all those kinds of things so that we can utilize our gifts. That's the real reason why we're looking at this, is to remind ourselves that we each have, and I've referred to this a couple of times, superpowers, as it were. I know that sounds kind of silly, but when it comes to superpowers, humanistically speaking, there really aren't any. Now, there's some people that are good at some things, or some people that can accomplish some great feats and incredible tasks and all kinds of wonderful skills and talents. But as far as supernatural abilities, well, we can get those from the Lord God above alone and only from Him. And so He gifts us through the Spirit. Remember, different times we looked at this phrase that the Spirit gives, the Spirit gives, the Spirit gives in regards to all these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 especially. That is the Holy Spirit of God that gives us these gifts. So these are precious gifts from God Almighty that He wants us to identify in each other and within ourselves, encourage one another to use for the edification and the building of the church. And we ourselves as individual Christians want to be faithful to use our gifts for God's glory, because we want to stand before Him someday and hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We want to honor Him with our gifts. And a life that serves the Lord Jesus Christ is a life that is successful. And He gives us gifts to help us with that success. So Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. We're going to get into, and won't be long with these here gifts today, but we looked at, I guess, 12 gifts already: the gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, discerning spirits, tongues, interpretation, apostleship, teaching, helps, and governments are the first 12 gifts that we looked at already. Some of these gifts sort of cross paths. They can be very similar, although each one is unique. Some of them are sign gifts that are no longer in use today, and some of them are assigned gifts that were in use at the beginning of the church and are still in use today. And as Paul in chapter 13 and 14 did a great job of helping us understand, all gifts are valuable. There's not one greater than the other. And if you really want to chase after something, chase after charity, chase after loving one another and loving those around us. So it's not about a competition, it's about identifying our gifts and praising God for them and using them as Christians here in this world, the supernatural abilities that God gifts to us. So in Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at a few other gifts. Some of these we'll recognize already, others will be new. But let me pray, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Father, thank you for this privilege here today to be with these folks. God, this is more than just a meeting of the minds. It's not a bunch of people trying to socialize. We're not gathered here today because we've got nothing else to do. We are here today because we recognize the value of your word, the value of fellowship with other believers, the importance of obeying scriptures and gathering together in this way. And Father, we just thank you that as Christians, we can come together and spend the day in your presence and in worship, Father, to you and to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're excited, Lord. There's a lot today that we have to celebrate and to be thankful for as we remember you, our Heavenly Father, and then our fathers and men, Lord. This topic of masculinity, this topic of fathers and men that we'll discuss a little bit in a few minutes. We thank you, Lord, for the special day that it is in regards to our fathers. Thank you, Lord, also, that as we gather today, it is our first VBS day, and we're excited about that. And we just ask God that in all these things, you would lead and guide us, teach and instruct us, and bless us, Lord, we pray. We ask for your help, Lord, as we look at your word now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Romans chapter 12, we'll start in verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing, so we've already mentioned there are different gifts. I'm kind of glad about that. There's not just one gift for everybody. God's like, nah, we'll get them a whole bunch and I'll divvy them out according to what God knows is best, according to his will. So again, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And it is a reminder here that it's God's grace that has saved us. It's God's grace that has provided forgiveness and salvation. And it's that same grace that says, yeah, let's give him some gifts. Let's empower them to honor and to serve and to grow and to help. And so this is the grace of God demonstrated to us in these supernatural spiritual gifts that we have. It says also that is given to us, whether prophecy, and we've talked about that one already, prophets, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaching on teaching. We've talked about those things as well. Now, ministry is kind of a new one in a sense. And so I'll take a moment just to explain. The gift of ministry is actually another way to say the gift of service. And it's similar to the gift of helps. And there are those within this room here this morning that have the gift of helps and the gift of ministry, serving. It's what you do. It's what you're good at. And a lot of times people will say, well, I don't want to be on the front lines. I don't want to be, you know, out in the front. I'll just be behind the scenes and I'll do the little things, you know, I'll send the cards or I'll make the cookies. And I just want to be, that's called the gift of service or the gift of ministry. That's the gift of ministry. And without that, without the body of Christ coming together and those that are supernaturally empowered to serve, we simply wouldn't be able to function. And not everybody is good at it because not everybody is gifted. We all grow in these different ways and our characteristics, our Christ-like characteristics get better. But there are those that have this special gift of being able to minister to other people in many different ways, being able to serve other people. And they're out of bed first thing in the morning, and they're usually the last to turn the lights out. And they're looking. They're not just being asked. They're looking for ways that they can serve. So the gift of ministry is a very special gift, and I'm thankful for that. Anybody have any comments on maybe this gift or questions or anything at all this morning? You know, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit works with some of these gifts in revealing them to us and nurturing them within us. And I've had different people do things, you know, just out of the blue, they'll stop and, you know, maybe take care of something at the church that they didn't need to. They weren't asked to do that. They just happened to take it upon themselves, and they'll slip in and they'll do some act of effort here at the church or maybe in someone's home or someone's property. And they don't want any fanfare. They just want to follow that leading, and that's the Spirit's leading in regards to our gifts and using them and nurturing them. And the gift of ministry, the gift of service is a very important one. In the list also, it goes on to say, verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, we talked a little bit about that. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. This is another one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's a good one. And it's kind of an older word that's used here. The King James sticks with exhortation. But what does that word mean, actually? What does it mean to have the gift of exhortation or to exhort someone? The word exhortation can be understood as being encourage, to exhort, to lift up, to encourage. And that takes a special gift. Not everybody is able to do that. Not everybody is really good at doing that. But those that are gifted with the gift of exhortation, the kind of people that can take 2 minutes and make you go from feeling down here to feeling up here, make you go from feeling like there is no hope to, okay, there is hope. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get through this. And it's this idea of encouraging Christians. Now, just nothing embarrassing, but by a show of hands, how many Christians here can recognize or recall in their lives as Christians that other Christians have encouraged you? Yeah. In big ways. And it's happened to me lots of times. And it's usually from those that have the gift of encouragement, of exhortation. And we can all do that. But then there are those that God has set aside with a special gift of exhortation. And they just are able to encourage. They're able to lift us up. And the body of Christ needs that. You know, you picture the battlefield. We refer to the fact that we have these tasks as soldiers. Out on the battlefield, you would maybe see a medic. And in the midst of the falling bombs and the gunfire and the smoke and all of the mess of war, you see these medics scurrying around from soldier to soldier and from person to person or body to body, aiding and helping and serving and ministering and all of these different things. And so when we think about these gifts, like the gift of exhortation, this is what comes to mind. These are so important out on the battlefield. And here comes a medic. Hey, you're going to be fine. Here's a bandage. You know, here's a little bit of medicine to help you feel better. And so our paramedics within the church are often those with the gift of ministry that know how to, or excuse me, the gift of encouragement, exhortation. They know how to lift us up and carry us through the difficult times. So praise God for those that have this gift. Praise God for His grace in giving it to us. Just as we continue to read, it goes on to say, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So there's three more gifts here just quickly mentioned. And again, there's not a lot of fanfare. It's not a chapter based on each of these gifts, but it says here clearly, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And so we have those that are gifted in giving. And when it says, "Let him do it with simplicity," it means generously or with generosity. Are those in amongst the church that are gifted with the gift of giving. And again, they're like the servers. They're always looking for someone to give something to, someone that they can be a blessing or an encouragement to. And maybe it's a card, maybe it's a treat, maybe it's a hug, whatever it might be, they're gifted with this gift of giving. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to what? To give than receive. So that's something that we all can and should relate to as Christians, to give. But then again, we know that there are those that are specially gifted and they take special pleasure. They're led supernaturally by the Lord to give in ways that might not make sense to other people, even Christians. You might say, well, that's a little, you know, above and beyond what you needed to do, or I don't understand why you could have benefited from this, but you just gave that. It's because they have this desire within them to satisfy as the Spirit leads. And so I praise God, again, for those who have this specific gift, the gift of giving. And it demonstrates a lot of selfless love, and it's a big help to the body of Christ. We've often had many gifts. I can remember different times when we were in Nova Scotia. We were putting a canoe on the back of the truck one day, and the girls were helping me, and we were taking the international students out for a paddle ride, and someone shoved a little too hard, and the canoe went through the back window of the Tundra, and it's like, oh, well, so we carried on, and I kind of left it like that for a little while. It was just too much to do. I put some plastic on it, and I thought I'll get to it eventually. And not very long after that, maybe a week or two after that, I came home, and somebody had bought a back windshield for my Tundra. It wasn't brand new, but it was in great shape, and they just left it sitting beside my truck. It was the exact window that I needed. And it probably cost them, even at a junkyard, a couple of $100. I don't know who did it to this day. Nobody ever told me. Somebody had the gift of giving, and they didn't want the fanfare. They wanted the satisfaction of it's more blessed to give than to receive. And they caught on to that because they have that gift. They recognize it much easier and quicker than maybe others. And I've experienced that so many times. Those with that gift, they encourage, they lift us up, they help us. And the body of Christ needs those with that gift. Those of you out there gifted with the gift of giving, thank you for your faithfulness to that gift. It is a help within the body of Christ, as all these gifts are. Goes on to say, the gift of, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And again, or with generosity, just go ahead and give. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. This is similar to, or I shouldn't say similar, but is, in my mind, the same as the gift of government. Someone that is gifted in the ability of leadership, who's able to govern, able to make decisions. And we kind of talked about that already. There are those that are gifted in that way. And then finally, with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This one is interesting because there are those who are gifted, exceptionally gifted with showing mercy. And that tells me that we need that. That's a gift that God recognized that the body of Christ needed. He wants us all to be merciful, patient, forgiving, gentle, kind, all those things. As a body of believers, we follow Christ's example and our Father's. And yet there are those that are supernaturally gifted with being able to demonstrate mercy in ways that the Spirit of God leads them in demonstrating, and it really is a help to the church. And I'm thankful for those that show mercy, because then it's what's one of the great things about this gift is it's an example for the rest of us who sometimes cut off. You know, we have a line. We say, well, I'll show mercy up to this point, and then after that, no more mercy. I'm done. Well, those that are gifted with mercy go beyond that line. They let the Lord look after where the lines should be, if there is any, and they just show mercy. It's in them to be merciful. It's in them to empathize, sympathize compassionately with others, and it is a very powerful gift, the gift of mercy. A lot of times we don't get it when we want it, and we sometimes don't get it from the people we think we should get mercy from, but it's those with this gift that step in and help make up the difference within the body of Christ. All right, so I got through those few verses, and I'm trying to finish this up today, so excuse me if I seem to be rushing through this, but anybody have any comments or questions on any of these other gifts or anything at all? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's a great example. You know, it's mercy. God has gifted people with this gift for that special reason. And sometimes we look at people that demonstrate that kind of mercy and we think, well, that's a little over the top. Barnabas, really, Paul, he killed Christians. Even if he is saved, we need to, you know, he should suffer a little while. He should feel some guilt and shame for a little while. But Barnabas just embraced him. And mercy also takes courage. Not only courage, because if I show mercy, maybe it might come back and bite me in the face or backfire. But also, sometimes other Christians will criticize those who demonstrate their gifts, like the gift of mercy. They'll say, well, that was, you know, marking a void. And they're quick to run to those rules instead of, wait a second, God does say to show mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And sometimes it takes courage to do that, because you might set yourself up for criticism, even while you follow God's leading and showing supernatural, unique mercy to people that others may not want to show mercy to. By the way, there's no one greater than our Lord God who shows mercy. No one greater. And so we don't have to ever think we're going to surpass that. And we also don't have to think that God has, you know, put a line on that. The mercy ends when our life ends. Other than that, God continuously extends mercy. But it's not always easy for us to do that. Those who are gifted can do that much better. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. It's like bitterness. Somebody said bitterness is a poison that you drink thinking it will hurt the other person that you're bitter against. Well, it just hurts you. Bitterness is not affecting the person that you're angry with. It's hurting you. And you're absolutely right. Not to show mercy, to harden your heart is a danger. Even as Christians who are maybe not supernatural gifted with this mercy that, you know, you sometimes see it on the news. There will be a Christian couple and so-and-so was lost their life in a very devastating, traumatic way, and there was a crime involved. And those parents will maybe say, even on television, they'll say, well, you know, we forgive that person. You know, it's not easy. We don't like what happened, but we want to show grace and forgiveness and mercy because that's what God has done. It's those unique supernatural-led moments of mercy that the Lord uses. Any other thoughts or comments on any of these things?
The gift of giving. There's videos online of people giving to homeless people. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're doing it in the wrong reason to get views?
Yes.
Does it matter?
Well, it does matter. It absolutely does. Matter of fact, there's just a little reference. sort of related to what you're talking about here in the end of verse 8. It says, show with mercy with cheerfulness. So the attitude matters. Be merciful, but don't do it. Don't be merciful because you have to be. Be merciful because you want to be. That's why it's a supernatural gift. No, I want to be merciful. I want to give you another chance and another one because they're gifted in that way. Giving is the same way. So, and I think what Dakota is referring to is there's people out there that will take their cell phones and they'll go and make a sandwich and bring it to someone on the street and video the whole thing and then post it online. Okay, well, thank you for giving that fella a sandwich, but now that you've got 3 million likes and, you know, you're Facebook famous or whatever, is that kind of what you were after? You were kind of chasing that fame and that pat on the back. You know, God sees the cheerful giver. He sees it even when nobody else does. And I've seen people give to other people and there's no fanfare, there's no acknowledgement except for God above in heaven. And when we stand before him, he will acknowledge that. So giving should come from a place of sincerity, not from a place of gain. If I give, I'll get. Now, if I give, I'm yielding to the Spirit's leading. I want to do this thing. So great question. Yeah. You can give for the wrong reasons. Flattery is an example. There's people that flatter, you know, oh, you're wonderful. You're so good looking. You're so great. You're so smart. I just think you're the best in the world. Well, what's going on is I'm trying to get something from you. The Bible warns us about flatterers. Be careful, those that flatter. I'm giving you compliments, praise. You're feeling great. But underneath, I can't wait until I can get what I want from you. You know, there is ill intentions, even in giving. So anyway, it's a great point to make. Any other comments or thoughts on any of these things here this morning? That's right. Yeah, Paul made that point. Love is the chief, the principal thing. We do what we do because of our love for God, because of our love for others, because we're demonstrating his love to those around us. Absolutely. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 here. We won't have to spend a lot of time. We've already talked about these, but this is another list, and I just didn't want to leave it out. Ephesians chapter 4, just verses 11 to 13, and then I'll share a few questions as we close out this little lesson. But in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in chapter 4, verse 11, we've talked about these gifts already. It says, and he gave some apostles. Remember, there's a distinct group of apostles, only those that served with Christ, saw Christ, walked with Christ, talked to Christ, saw him ascend. Those are the apostles, a unique group. Today, there are those that would claim to be an apostle. They say, I'm an apostle. Well, no, you're not. Unless you walk with Christ and saw the death and resurrection and the ascension and from the baptism of John until the day he went to heaven, you're not an apostle. According to the Word of God itself, that's the definition of an apostle. Also, it says here in verse 11, some apostles, some prophets, we talked about that as well, some evangelists. I don't know if we mentioned this specifically. I guess we didn't, but there are those that are specifically gifted with evangelism. And an evangelist is different than a preacher, even, or a pastor, in that their intentions are to bring revival and to point out things that maybe sometimes we've dulled our senses to. And it's good to have that. Every once in a while, you know, I heard an evangelist say, you guys I know are familiar with Glenn Weeks, and I think he might have said it. Sometimes evangelists are known for blowing in, blowing up, and blowing out. But we don't want them to blow up, make a big mess, and then leave. I'm going to call that guy back. You get back here, clean up this mess. But at the same time, sometimes it's good to have that either rude awakening. Who said that? There was a wrestler that used to say that. I don't know who it was now. But rude awakening. We need to sometimes be, oh, I never considered it that way before. And sometimes an evangelist can bring a special message and stir up not just one or two, but an entire church and move us forward. I still remember, and Barry Beebe is a pastor, but I would refer to the message that he had for us the day of the ordination. It was a message that was inspiring to the whole church. You know, don't be afraid to follow the Lord God. Don't be afraid to change and letting God change you and to lead you into new seasons and new things and new opportunities. And it was a very inspiring message. Evangelists are good at that. Danny Jack, we know him. I can remember sitting with him at Tim Hortons having coffee, and he was pastoring at that time, but he had this desire. He said, I just feel like God is leading me into evangelism. I can't help it, and I can't resist it, and I need to explore it. And so we prayed, and he prayed, and a little bit of time went on, a year or two, and then next thing I know, he said, I'm stepping out in faith. We're going to do this. And, you know, the rest is history, as we say. And he's been gifted and called. And the Lord is honoring that gift as he honors the Lord with that gift. Evangelist. Some pastors and teachers, and I'll make a quick reference in regards to myself. We talked about teachers already, but as pastors, I can remember a season in my life when I dabbled with the idea of evangelism. And the idea in my mind, to be honest, wasn't so much that I felt like this was what God was doing, I think, as much as it was more appealing. You know, if I don't have to actually stick around, if I can just blow in, blow up, and blow out and let somebody else deal with the consequences of that, that's pretty appealing. You know, I could do that. And God's the whole time going, yeah, you're not gifted. That's not where I want you. And I can remember for about 9 months in between churches, we in those 9 months, there was only one Sunday that I was able to go to church and just have church. Every other Sunday, I said, Lord, if you want to use me, I'm here. Just call me, you know, if somebody needs a preacher, I'll go. And every Sunday, someone needed a preacher somewhere. And by the end of those 9 months, God had made it very clear I was miserable. So now I got to be in a church. I need to do what God's called me to do. I can't do it without him. Most times I have no idea what I'm doing. And I have a lot of questions about it someday. Are you sure that was the right idea? But I can't resist. And I wouldn't be happier doing anything else. So I'm not trying to be braggadocious, but I've recognized that about myself. And, you know, it's a sad state when a Christian puts their gift away and says, I think I want to do something else. I think I want to, you know, just do my own thing, God. You know, God is gracious and merciful. And he is. But when God gives us a gift, our greatest joy is when we experience and utilize that gift. Putting that gift aside for something else is not going to be nearly as satisfying or as fulfilling, because it's not God's plan. It's your own plan. God can be merciful and gracious and still work with us, but you're missing out on the best that God has for us. Anybody have any other thoughts this morning? I got a question and a challenge and a comment as we close. And we are going to close a little early this morning because we've got some activities that we're involved with today. But here's the question. How do we, just by way of a reminder, because, you know, there's a sense of humility that I think we should have as Christians when it comes to our gifts. We don't want to, you know, stand up and list them off and, you know, make sure everybody recognizes how important we are. And I know that. But I want you to know what your gifts are. I want you to know them. I want you to recognize, yeah, I have gifts too, just like every Christian. And they're from God. They're supernatural. The Spirit wants to nurture and grow that gift in you and help you utilize it to the best of your ability, whatever that might be. You know, you have however long God gives you to continue to exercise that gift and mold it and hone it in and just define it and become better and better at it. And so when it comes to identifying our gifts, what are some of the ways, because we've talked about this a couple of times, how do we do that? How do you know what your gifts are? How do I know what my gifts are? There's essentially three ways that we can sort of identify what our gifts are. Okay, people tell you. That's right. Listen for that. You know, again, we have to be humble. We're not looking for compliments or pats on the back. We don't do what we do just, you know, so we can get likes on Facebook. But the preacher said, I got a gift. I wonder what it is. I'm paying attention. And somebody said to me this, hey, you know what? You're really good at serving. Boy, you should do this. And you're really great. I appreciate your attitude. And somebody else just said that to me a couple of months ago. And, you know, I do kind of like serving. And maybe that's my gift. And so we have to learn to identify our gifts, and that's a good thing to do that so that we can practice and exercise our gifts. And one way is other people. And it's all right to sit down and to say with someone you trust and appreciate, say, look, pray with me about my gifts. And by the way, if you think you know what they are, enlighten me if you're not sure. it's fine to allow others to sort of identify those gifts. And again, it's not about bragging or pride. It's about identifying and using these gifts. So other people. Second to that is the Word of God, as we just read some of these lists. Okay, I can see some of these things in my life. So I can't take credit for them. Must be the Lord. I must be gifted in some of these ways. And that's another way to kind of, another box to check off. The Bible says that this is a gift. Other people mention that they appreciate this about me. And the third way, of course, is simply through exercising your gifts. You pray about it and you invest in it. And the better out of you get and the more you enjoy it, it's like the mercy. Those who show mercy with cheerfulness, they just can't help it. They love to do that. People who love to give, they love to serve, they love to minister, they love to teach, they love to preach, they love to use their gifts. And that's one of the ways that you can identify what your gifts are, because you just enjoy it so much. It's not a responsibility. It's not an effort. You don't do it begrudgingly. You do it because you're motivated. You have to satisfy that gift. Any comments on that? Yes, that's right. Yep. Amen. I would say that might even fall into the gift of helps or ministry. Sometimes you just need to listen. Do you know that I've learned not everybody is good at that? I'm one of them. It's true. Someone that is able just to listen and just hear you and let you vent it all out and get it out, and then instead of trying to fix all the problems and interrupt 25 times, they just listen. And then they might turn around and say, well, I've got a comment, or let me pray with you. And you leave that person feeling, there. Thank you for that therapy session. That helped. Listening. Amen. Any other thoughts or comments here this morning? All right, here's the statement. I guess it follows what I just said. Tell others about their gifts. Sometimes we might need to ask, but it's not comfortable doing that. But if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you know what? I so appreciate you. You must be gifted in this way. One of the 16 things here that I've listed anyway. You must be gifted in the gift of discerning spirits. You're good at that. You must be gifted in regards to service. And it's okay to do that. If you know, if you can identify a gift in somebody else, you think, hey, I think you're gifted in this way. It's good to mention that. It's good to mention that. And to pray for those individuals that are gifted. Because together, you know, we're like the League of Justice, for those that recognize that term, right? As Christians, we're the League of Justice through Christ, who is the head, and he divvies out these superpowers, these gifts that we can utilize to help one another, to aid the lost, to be a light in this world. And so it helps tell others about their gifts, not, again, to puff them up, but to help them identify and to encourage them to use those gifts. And then third to that, I just jotted down, is to make sure you're using those gifts. Look for opportunities. Take advantage of the gifts that you have. Make sure that you're not just wasting them. There's a couple of verses, one in Matthew 25, or two actually, in verse 21 and 23, that tells us that when we use our gifts, when we're faithful over a few things, God will make us rulers over what? Many things. I heard a message recently, and I really appreciate it because I believe the same, and it was just an encouragement to me because the preacher talked about how our rewards someday aren't simply going to be just crowns, not just possessions, but they're also going to include responsibilities, other ways to serve, positions of service in the millennium that's coming. You know, in a sense, that's why Jesus said, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. You're being faithful now in this season with your gifts. And someday I'm going to reward you with other things, not just possessions, but positions that you will be able to minister and serve, because that's where our joy and our satisfaction and our purpose is found. I mean, I can wear a crown on my head. That's fine. You know, be shiny and glittery. But after a while, I'm probably going to take it off. What's the point? But if I have a ministry, a position that God gives me, says, well done, good and faithful servant, here's your position through the millennium. Here's how you will reign with Christ. Here's how you will serve the King of Kings throughout the 1,000 years. Wow, Lord. I tried to be faithful over a few things, and thank you for this gift of allowing me to participate in these new things. And someday we'll experience that. So use your gifts. Use them. Bring glory to Christ. Bring edification and strength to the church. Identify those gifts and utilize them in a big way, and God will bless you for it. All right. So any other final thoughts, questions, or comments, anything at all just before we leave today? If you have any questions, if you want to have this list, if you want to sort of dive a little deeper into some of these gifts that we've talked about, come and see me and I can give you some information or where to look and that kind of stuff. But anyway, praise the Lord for the gifts that we have. Amen. Supernatural gifts. I love that. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, temperance, all those things. Those are gifts. We talk about the gifts of the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God. And then also these gifts, the supernatural gifts that we have that we can use. So anyway, we are blessed beyond measure with what God has done for us in the church in amazing ways. Father, thank you again for these gifts. And Lord, we just pray that as a body of believers here in this little local church on the Pine Glen, that you would help us to identify our gifts, to use them for your glory. And Lord, help us to nurture them. Help us to get better at using our gifts as we sense your leading and as we utilize our gifts. We thank you again, Father, for who you are and what you've done for us through Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have through faith and trust in him, that we are forgiven by his grace and saved. Bless us now as we head into the worship time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, folks.